I want us to look at two passages of Scripture. I want to look at Psalm 103, one verse, and then I want us to turn over to 1 Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to read a few verses in that portion of Scripture. And this is a two-part message. There's several things that I want to bring out, and so, Lord willing, we're going to get a little ways this morning, and we want to continue or conclude the message tonight, but I want us to just to consider a thankful heart, our thankful hearts, and we've titled this message, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And we begin this morning with verse 1 of Psalm 103. And the psalmist says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. And now if you will turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll give you just a minute to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to consider before we read, and as you're turning there, I want us to see Peter in this passage of Scripture saying, I'm praising God for all He has done for me and for all the great blessings that He has bestowed upon me. And so we begin reading with verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And we say this morning, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. Thank You, Lord, that we can read and we can study and we can understand just what a wonderful Savior we have, realizing where You took us from and where we're headed, and realizing even in this turmoil of life that we live in, with the problems and difficulties and with the challenges that are faced every day, we can still know and we can rejoice of the salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask Your blessings this morning, and we know that there's a lot of hurting folks. We know that there's a lot of needs, and we pray for those needs, that You'll touch and comfort those that need comforting and helping those that need helping, and Lord, just giving them what they need. But Lord, we ask the same this morning. We ask that You give us what we need, what our hearts need, and may we leave here more thankful and more grateful and more loving than we came in with. You've done so good, and You've helped us so much. And we know one day, we're going to be in eternity with You because of the finished work of Christ. May we rejoice this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are seven words that I want to make mention of found in this passage of Scripture in 1 Peter. And if you took time to maybe underline them and maybe do your own study, we can think of them like this. The first word that I think of in this passage is the word mercy, found in verse 3. The next word follows just a word or two after that says begotten, found in verse 3. I think of the word inheritance, found in verse 4. I think of the word kept, found in verse 5. And yes, I think of the word trial, found in verse 7. I think of the word joy, found in verse 8. And I'm thinking of the word salvation, found in verse 9. And although there's a lot of issues in our lives and there's a lot of trials, there's a lot of concerns, there's a lot of things that we deal with every day, I'm still grateful for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still grateful this morning for the provision that was made. And yes, there's worry in people's lives, and there's things in people's lives that they maybe don't have the answers for right now, but we can still rejoice and we can give the Lord praise this morning for what we do know. You see, we know this morning, being saved, we know this morning, we that are saved, we know that we are headed for heaven. We know that we have forgiveness for our sins. We know this morning that no matter what goes in our lives, no matter what goes on in our lives, we can take time to praise the Lord. We can come this morning with a thankful heart, a time of thanksgiving. So this morning I'd like to spend a little time considering these words and considering these things this morning, just how much we do have, and may we leave this place with a greater joy than what we came in with, because we do have hope. We do have the Savior this morning. We can praise Him. First point I'd like to make is found in verse 3. Blessed be the God for His abundant mercy. Think about that word. For His abundant mercy He has shown towards us. Let me ask you a question this morning, and this is just kind of some thought-provoking questions. But let me ask you this morning, do we ever think about God's mercy? Do we ever meditate on God's mercy? As busy sometimes as our lives get, do we ever consider just what God has provided for us by showing us mercy? Why would the Lord be so merciful to us? Why would that be so important that this mercy is shown? Why is that word, why would we underline that word and pull it out and say, what is it about this mercy? Well, it's found in Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus Christ came with a purpose. Jesus Christ came with that purpose, and that purpose was for you and for me. That purpose was to show His mercy, and His mercy be bestowed upon us. While we were yet sinners, He was willing to die. He was willing to die for us while we were yet sinners. I say that's mercy. That's mercy that He was willing to do this. And the important thing is this. He chose to die. He chose. It's one thing that we do things in life because we're supposed to. It's one thing that we do things in life. And if you think about your own life, that there's things that you're supposed to do. There's things that we need to do. There's things that we're obligated to do. But this morning, may we consider the fact that Jesus chose to die for us. He chose. It was His choice. He chose to help us. He chose to make a way for us. As vile as we are, and as vile as the world is, and you see the condition of our world, And you see the thought process, and it doesn't take long to look out and don't look very far. And you see the condition of our world, and he still chose to do this. You see, that's showing us mercy. He is the one that showed mercy to us. He is the one that showed mercy in our own lives. And whatever day it was that you accepted Christ, he showed great mercy for you. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We shall be saved by his life. I know it's hard for us to think about ourselves as enemies, but do you realize we were enemies until he saved us? You say, well, I wasn't a bad person, and maybe you weren't. Just like a lady that I witnessed to one time many years ago, and she was an older lady, and I believe that she lived her life as pure and as godly as she could. But when I was talking to her, I asked her, you know, we were talking about sin, and the realization is, as good as we may think someone is, the Bible says we're still sinners. And we still need to be saved. You see, that's the mercy that he has shown. And we're enemies before we get saved. But yet he changed us. And he's the one that's doing the changing. He made a difference in our lives. So we praise him for his mercy. It's easy for us to blame others. It's easy for us to look at others. It's easy for us to look at what's happening and all these kind of things. It's easy, but sometimes we need to be reminded and look in the mirror and look back at us and say, I'm just as guilty as anyone else, and I needed Jesus. You see, that's the mercy that he's shown. We see a sinner... When we look in the mirror, we see a sinner. If you know Christ and if you've made that decision, we see a sinner that still needed to be saved. And there's some that look in the mirror and still need to be saved. There's some that still need Jesus. God has shown his abundant mercy by giving us not what we deserve, but giving us mercy. Maybe you can relate this and relate to this story, and maybe you can't. But when I was growing up, you know, there were six of us in our house, and there was a time period that everybody was in school but me, and I hadn't started school yet. And I would stay home with my mother, and everybody else was in school or my dad was working. And contrary to what you may think, I wasn't always an angel. And I would do things, and I know that I would get on my mother's last nerve. And I knew I had reached that last nerve when she said the words, "Wait till your daddy gets home." And when I heard those words, and she didn't use them often. She didn't use them. You know, when you make threats, and I'll call it a threat, okay? When you make threats, you don't just threaten and not do. But you save that threat to where you mean business. That way the person that you're threatening stops whatever they're doing. Okay, so that's what my mother would do. She wouldn't use it very often. But when she used it, I knew I needed to change my actions. And she would say that, and I would be mischief or whatever. And back in those days when I was growing up in the early 70s, you can't really do it now because of all the evil that's in the world. But back in those days, they would say, "Why don't you go outside?" And then you hear the door close, and then they'd lock it. And so I hung outside. You can't do that now, but that's what happened to me when I heard that door lock. I knew I wasn't invited back in till lunch. That way she could get something done. But when she would make that statement, wait till your dad gets home, I would try my best to straighten up, but my actions were still real. And so I knew what time he got home, and within just a few minutes, and it didn't take me long to learn how to tell time pretty quick. And so I would watch the clock, and she would every now and then she would look at me. And of course, I'd be an angel then, okay, as it got closer. And so when I heard the car drive in the driveway and I heard the door closed, I didn't know what kind of day he would have. I didn't know, you know, if he'd be in a good mood or a bad mood. And so I would just, my eyes, believe it or not, wouldn't be on my dad, but my eyes would be on my mother because she had a message. And there was more times than not, she would look at me and she would look at my dad when he came in and she would say, "How was your day?" And more times than not, she never told him what things I did. More times than not. Now, there were some times that he just needed to be told. But the point is, she showed mercy. Even as bad as I was, and as much mischief as I might have been into, she showed mercy. Well, look at your own life. And don't look at the good things maybe that you've done in life. Think of the things that God truly showed you mercy for. Amen. That's what we praise Him for. We praise Him for His mercy. Simply making a way for us through Jesus Christ. We praise Him. And when I think about that psalm, and when I think about how it begins, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name." We're blessing Him this morning because of His mercy that Peter talks about, how that He is, His abundant mercy is shown upon all of us. And if you're lost and don't know Christ as your personal Savior, His mercy is still showing because He's given you another opportunity. I wish that I could tell you this morning that the first time I heard the gospel that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I didn't. And many of you didn't either. The Bible says in that same psalm, I want to read to you a few verses of Psalm 103 that says in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that feared Him." You see, that's us. That's us. And we're thankful this morning for His mercy. Had it not been for His mercy, we would be a people this morning with no hope. Had it not been for His mercy, we would be a people with no hope. But what is the next word we're thinking about? What is the next passage? We also find this in verse 3. And the next point this morning is, "Blessed be the God who hath made us to be His children." His children. The Bible goes on to say, "hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We're His children, begotten us. That means that we have been born again. That means we have been born again. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Ye must have that change in your life. Begotten us means that we know Christ. that we're saved. You see, God is the author of natural life. And when natural life begins, and there's still people struggling with that, but God is the author of the natural life, but He's also the author of our spiritual life. He's also the author of our spiritual life and where we are spiritually. Physically, we are born into this world, but this life has limits. This life has a time limit that only God knows. And so there's limits in this life, but those that are in Christ have another birthday. Those that are in Christ have another birth, and that is the spiritual side, and that we are now members of the family. There's a song that the trio sings that I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. You see, because of Christ, we can be a part of that family. We can be a part of that family. And we're grateful for that because it's nothing. You know, I can tell you some things that I've learned about my family heritage and the Freeman name. And I can, you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but I got a phone call several years ago now. It's probably been maybe about 10 years or so. I got a phone call and it was actually a lawyer, a law firm, that says, "Are you Bruce Freeman?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "You know, I was trying to think back. Did I do anything to cause this?" But I didn't. And I got a phone call, and they said, "Do you know?" I don't remember his name. I think it's Ben. "Do you know Ben Freeman?" And I said, "No." I said, "I don't know who he is." And they started talking about the generations, and it was like three generations from where I was. And they said that he had passed away and he had left an inheritance. Well, my first thought was, this is some kind of hoax. But the more she began to talk, and she started naming off all these other people that I knew, then my next thought, and I'm not going to tell you the story. The next thought was, all right. I have those thoughts too, right? But as we began to talk, and she said she would send more information, and she actually sent me the family tree, and I thought, well, bless old Ben. He's all right. Don't even know who he is, but bless him. But after everything was said and done, about 6 months later, they called us back and said that that they got hold of every one of the heirs of the family tree, and there were a lot of us, every one of the heirs, that there really wasn't enough to give, so we're just going to keep it. And so that was the story. But when it comes to being a child and our inheritance, we are rich. Amen. In Jesus Christ. We are rich, and what we have, no one will take away. But I've got news for you. What we haven't earned, but it's a gift from God. Amen. What we have in Jesus, we are joint heirs. We are beneficiaries of God's grace. And we praise Him this morning. Because we're His children. He has begotten us, which means we're saved and we know Christ as our personal Savior. And for that, we're grateful this morning. We are one of His children, not because of anything we did. We're one of His children because of everything that He has done. We're His children because of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I ask another question for you to think about. Do you ever marvel? Do you ever meditate upon the amazing fact that you're one of God's children? Do you ever take time and set aside in your busy lives and all the things that's happening? And do you ever stop and say, "Lord, thank you for allowing me to be one of your children. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for the finished work. Thank you that I had no hope, but now I have hope in Jesus Christ." You see, that's what we marvel about, and we thank the Lord on this day because we know this morning that we're one of His children. And we thank the Lord for that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is in me, bless His holy name. For what He's done, for what's accomplished. No one can separate us from the Lord. No thing, no condition, no circumstance, no separation can we have or that we have in the Lord. You know, when we travel or when we go somewhere and we leave a family or and those type of things and there's a separation. But you see, there's no separation when it comes to being one of His children. And there's a passage in the book of Romans, and I won't take time to read that, but it talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. You see, that's the realization that we have, and that's the praise that we give Him this morning, not because of anything that we've done, because we fail Him, and we make mistakes, and we fall short, but He never falls short. He never makes a mistake. And we have no worry this morning, because He has everything under control. But He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all of our praise. Verse 3 also talks about the third point here is, blessed be God that He has given us such a glorious hope. Think about that passage where it says, abundant mercy and hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, an unbeliever has no hope. Now I want you to stop and think about it just for a minute. And when I say the word no hope, the only hope that a non-believer has is the hope that is found in this life, the life that they're living. Now you look at the condition of this world, you look at the sin, you look at the hatred, you look at all the crime, you look at, and I could keep going on and on and on about this life. But wouldn't it be sad to know this morning that that is the only hope you have? That is the only life you have. In reality, now I know that we understand this morning that there's a heaven and a hell, and we understand that there's no middle ground. When you take your last breath, whenever that may be, you're going to be destined for heaven or destined for hell. And the ones that go to hell are the ones that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The ones that know Christ as their personal Savior will be in heaven. But just for the sake of thinking about it this morning, what if this world that we live in is the only hope that man has? Let me tell you something, it would be a sad day. It would be a sad day to understand and to believe that this is the only thing that we have. You see, this life is full of tears. This life is full of war. This life is full of fears. Material things, they come and go. We understand that by the devastation that was in Florida and in West and the fires in California and all these things, material things come and go. But for a believer, we have a living hope. For a believer, we have a lively hope, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has victory over death, hell, and the grave. He's the victor this morning, and we praise Him this morning because He is the victor. You see, we have reason to praise Him. Without Jesus Christ, a person has no hope. Without Jesus Christ, a person has no hope. But with Jesus Christ, we have all the hope that we need. With Jesus Christ. You see, what a wonderful future that we have this morning, knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. What a future we have. And our future is not in the things of this world, but our future is that heavenly home with our Lord and Savior. You see, that is what our future is. Do you realize that one of these days, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, one of these days, in the next, let's just make it simple. If this building is still standing in 100 years, there's not a single one of us will be in this room. It'll be another group of people, and unless the Lord comes, we know that. But it'll be another group of people. But my hope and prayer is that they're proclaiming the same message, that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. You see, we praise Him this morning. And we say this morning, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, we do pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that they'll consider. And they'll look at their own lives and say, I don't have any hope. There's no hope in this life. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope in the things of this world. And help them to realize the hope is in Jesus Christ. Help them to realize that hope is in Jesus and the finished work and the shed blood. And that we can have forgiveness of our sins. And if there's someone that's here this morning or someone that's watching this morning that's never accepted Christ, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know Christ. But Lord, for those of us that are living and for those of us that are saved, may we not leave this place without being more thankful for what we have in Jesus. May we be thankful and grateful for Your mercy. May we be grateful and thankful to be one of Your children. May we be grateful and thankful, even though burdens are heavy, even though life is hard, we're thankful this morning because You're with us and that You help us. Father, as we have this invitation, Lord, if someone just feels burdened to just come and say, Lord, thank You for Your abundant mercy. Thank You that we're children. Thank You for what You've done in my life. And I want to begin this day with a thankful heart. Lord, if You've spoken to anyone, I pray that they'll come and do just that. We can never thank You enough. And Father, I pray that You'll bless this invitation. If there's needs, Lord, I know that we can come and pray. But Lord, You have Your will and way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.